You're listening to Morning Edition on WNYC. The air in New York and cities around the country has gotten much cleaner over the last century, but you wouldn't always know it as you walk past trucks idling in traffic or stopped at a light. At the same time, urban bicycling has increased dramatically too, which is generally a good thing for lightening the loads on the streets and mass transit and for exercising riders' lungs and bodies. Still, what are people on and around our roadways breathing in? Today, WNYC's Fred Mogul helps launch a multi-year study with local scientists and with many of you in our audience about exercise and air quality as part of an occasional series we're calling Street Stress, about how our streets affect our health.
Measuring what's in the air is tricky. Measuring what exactly goes into your lungs as you inhale is even trickier. And saying what the impact of that is for your health and what you can do about it, well, that's trickier still. Today, we're going to start our bicycle ride far from exhaust pipes and smokestacks. We're going to start it in a small, windowless exercise lab at New York Presbyterian.
I'm Darby Jack. I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Environmental Health Sciences at the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University.
Right now, Jack's also a guinea pig. He's attached by lots of cords to an EKG machine to measure his heart rate while he pedals on a stationary bicycle. At the same time, he's also breathing into what looks like a long, cylindrical shot glass that's attached by a tube to the same computer as the EKG.
You can see the stepping of his heart rate.
Amy Layton is pointing to a series of blue diamonds on the computer screen. She's an exercise physiologist.
So you'll see it just step ever so nicely with the increase in the resistance on the pedals.
They're putting Jack's body and lungs to the test. It turns out he's about a third as fit as Lance Armstrong was at his peak, albeit well on a lot of steroids.
This is the sign of a fit individual. People who are not healthy, their heart rates do not respond nicely like that. Looking good. Starting to work a little bit. There you go.
But we're not really here to test Jack's fitness. We're mainly here to test his sleek black shirt. It's got bands across the chest and abdomen. They're attached to a small tracker that's monitoring his heartbeat and respiration. Jack and his team want to see how accurately this $400 shirt measures heart rate and breathing compared to the high-tech rig he's hooked up to in this lab. It's all about figuring out the actual dose of pollution that riders inhale.
When you exercise, your breathing goes up a lot.
Wearing the black shirt on earlier test rides around the city, Jack measured a huge jump in how much air he pulled in.
At rest, I might be breathing 3 liters per minute. When I'm really riding my bike hard, I might be breathing 30 liters per minute. It's just, you know, as your body demands more oxygen, you're just breathing faster and drawing deeper breaths. And if there's pollution in the air, that means you're breathing in more particles.
It'll take a while to crunch the numbers and calibrate the shirt. Fine-tuning measuring devices is one of the main things Darby Jack and his colleagues have been doing for months to get ready for their ambitious project with WNYC. The Columbia team has a grant from the National Institutes of Health. They'll equip a brigade of volunteer cyclists with those shirts and various high-tech pollution monitors. So it will be up to you, our listeners, to hit the road with that gear, find out what's in the street-level air, and help the scientists calculate how much of that's getting into your body.
If you think about it, the level of pollution that we experience in New York, you know, on a relatively clean day, it might be, say, 15 micrograms per meter cube.
That's the concentration of fine, smoky particles in the air. A sort of ballpark baseline city people live with.
But if you multiply it by 10...
because you're breathing 10 times as hard when you exercise...
that's getting up to what you read about in Beijing or New Delhi or whatever. For that period of time where you're really exerting yourself, your inhaled dose of pollution is potentially much more worrisome from a health point of view.
Not that New York's air quality baseline, even without exercise, is so perfect. It's not Beijing or New Delhi, but the American Lung Association rates the city among the worst in the country for fine particle pollution. And this is after decades of steady improvement.
Since 1946, the amount of solid material in the air has dropped at least 50%.
That's Sylvan L. Hanauer, the city's deputy commissioner of air pollution control, speaking in the mid-1950s. The air in urban America has improved for lots of reasons. Buildings don't burn trash anymore. They rarely heat with coal and generally use oil that's cleaner than it used to be, or they use natural gas. Cars also have become much more efficient, and of course, many factories have closed. But even with all that, Scientist Iyad Kerbek says there are still many local neighborhoods with lots of room for improvement.
The regions of the city that tend to have worse air quality are those with high densities of traffic and buildings. And so those tend to be Midtown Manhattan, Lower Manhattan, areas of Northern Manhattan, the Western Bronx, South Bronx, and in the northern parts of Brooklyn and Southern Queens along in those industrial areas.
I'm meeting Kerbek, the city health department's clean air guru, in Madison Square Park. It's an oasis of green in Midtown Manhattan. But traffic swirls all around and skyscrapers canyon the air, trapping lots of pollution. Kerbek says pollution, of course, affects everyone, but the impact is most keenly felt
among those that we call vulnerable populations, people with asthma, people with cardiovascular disease, older populations, and the really young.
There have been several studies suggesting the benefits from biking and exercise generally outweigh the health risks from exposure to pollution. Even though those studies have been based more on statistical analysis than on freshly gathered data, Darby Jack figures they're probably right, and the overall pros of biking outweigh the cons. But he thinks there are still lots of good reasons to measure those cons, which is to say, measure the fine particles in pollution. And by using the WNYC Bicycle Brigade, he and his colleagues hope eventually to create a map, and maybe a smartphone app, to show people which thoroughfares have the most and least toxic air.
So you can decide whether it's a good idea to go out and exercise, or you can decide whether to, you know, run along the park or run along the river.
I biked with Jack recently from his home in Brooklyn to his office in northern Manhattan. His favorite part of the trip, the part where he can relax and put the stressful city streets behind him, is when he gets to the bike path along the Hudson River.
You're really physically removed from traffic, number one, and then number two, there's all the airflow that comes with the river. And plus, it's beautiful. It's really pleasant. You're sequestered off.
He'd like to measure how much better it is than the congested streets we just came through in Chinatown, in the Village, and Chelsea. Jack believes a combination of scientific data and political pressure and market demand can eventually drive public policy. That's how we got catalytic converters cleaning cars' exhaust and hybrid vehicles and the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts of the 1970s.
The question is, will societal expenditures on additional cleanup, will they generate benefits that justify their costs? My intuition is, yes, they will, but that's what we want to, you know, ultimately, that's what we want to quantify.
If so, it will take a while. The study is funded for 5 years, and the first 18 months are just to confirm the volunteer bikers and their equipment are gathering meaningful information. We'll be checking in periodically to share a glimpse of what they're learning. For WNYC, I'm Fred Mogul.
For more on our Street Stress Project and to become a citizen cyclist scientist, go to WNYC.org. And you can also tune in tomorrow to the Brian Lehrer Show to join the discussion. This is WNYC.